Hello and welcome back to another Meta-Era Nerds Weekly Recap with Rico and my main man, the gaming guru, the Hussam homie, the One Piece Piper. What's up, Marcus? Yeah.
How's it going? I'm doing all right. And what'd you say? I wouldn't say the One Piece Piper yet. That Andrew still holds that title, and me and Andrew always have a conversation. So shout out to Andrew being that One Piece guy. But I'm doing all right. Can't complain. School's almost over. A week and a half, man. Counting down the days until summer vacation. What's been getting me a lot through these last few weeks, because I've just been, there comes a time where people have their ups and downs and you're kind of just navigating and trying to figure out what's up. And we talked about it right before. So we never really talk about it. I think we mentioned it a couple of times, but I do want to kind of just get into music just because that's been what's going on with myself. I haven't really been watching anything. I haven't even been playing anything just because, you know, it's been kind of here nor there. But actually, I have been watching a show. And again, it's music oriented. It's called Daisy Jones and the Six. It was something that I picked up from somebody, a certain individual. And again, music based, love story type thing. I've just been getting really into that. Also saw another movie actually recently, and again, the music, I've just been super honed in on music in general, because you mentioned it, right? What is it? It speaks to your soul. It kind of brings out, you know, what did you say exactly? Brings out your emotions, but
it does. It plays with your emotions, and there's so many different types of music that you can resonate with. And yeah, it just something hits you, whether it's the music, whether it's the words, the melody, and it catches onto your vibe, whether you're angry, sad, happy, everything. Like, it's just captured in music. It's just really an amazing thing that is appropriate. It's one of those things that's just appropriate at all times, because it's so different. There's so much out there. I mean, so much that, like, we don't even know about yet, that we haven't discovered. I mean, and you were just telling me that you discovered a new artist and that you're super excited and happy that, you know, you're listening to
him. Yeah, and you said it. That was the word I was looking for, resonate, right? How music just kind of resonates with you. And I told Rico before, like, you're sad. You put on all these sad songs. I think just really amplify your just emotions, you know, for better or for worse, right? You might just be bawling or something, or, you know, the lyrics speak to you, and the melody in this case and the lyrics have just been kind of consuming me. But then you have your kind of like, okay, little, I don't want to say positive. I guess a positive playlist, right? Where, you know, it's going to be okay. Kind of just, you know, keep going, keep pushing, and, you know, the melody gets you and you kind of run to these things and it kind of just takes your mind. And again, you go from one mood to the other in two different extremes. And then right now, right before he got, I said, man, I'm just kind of feeling, you know, and I was like, no, that's podcast. I think I'll be good. And then I was listening to that new Post Malone song with Morgan Wallen, and it's cool. It's awesome. It's catchy.
It's good.
It's really good. I like it a lot. But on YouTube, there's like a little playlist or whatever. So I let the playlist go, and it's, of course, all these songs, whatever. And then it hits me with Shibuzi, right? And apparently, this is like number three right now on YouTube. Came out about a month ago, and apparently it was like a TikTok thing. Look, I'm looking at the comments, and apparently people are coming over from TikTok. But it just appeared on my feed, and I was like, I listened to it, and it's called A Bar Song by Shibuzi. And I was like, oh my God, like, I was just enthralled with his melody, his sound, and I was just, okay, I gotta listen to more. So Rico had to go do something before this, and I put on the next song, Let It Burn, and oh my God, I was like, this is so good. And then I went to the next song in Vegas, and then the next song in Beverly Hills. I haven't found a bad song yet. I started saving them all on my phone and stuff like that. And again, they evoke emotion. They just evoke just, you know, how you feel in certain different moments. And hey, man, without music, man, I'm just kind of curious how more rough life would be. But it's really helped. It's really kind of just, you know, put my emotions to perspective, kind of just put my thought process and guide my thought process and just be a little bit more, you know, in tuned with myself and stuff like that. So I did want to just kind of talk about that fairly quickly before we got into it, because it's something that I've been, you know, going through quite a bit recently and stuff like that.
Been helping you with your adversity.
Yeah, big time. And that includes music and movies in that film, which I saw Anyone But You. And love story. I love rom-coms, believe it or not. I used to watch them all growing up. My mom used to have a huge collection. Anyone But You. And I loved it. I loved the music. And I was like, oh my God. So I downloaded the music too. And I've been listening to that. And then the Daisy Jones and the Six, again, the music. And I'm like, oh my God, again. And I'm just like everywhere, dude. So it's been good. It's been good. So there has been a little bit of a movie and a show here, but music just really kind of taken over my mind right now and stuff like that. So I didn't want to talk about that briefly, but yeah, man.
It's a good shout, man, because music, like I said, it's one of those things that it's always appropriate because there's all kinds, and it's funny how you can just stumble across something and you're like, whoa, I feel this, you know? And then like you all of a sudden discover an artist, and then from that artist you discover another one and another one. And by the time you know it, you have a completely new playlist for completely new feelings, and pa'lante, right?
Yeah, and it's crazy because the Post Malone song had that country vibe. The Shibuzi, he's a country artist, but he's a rapper. And rap has always been one of my favorite genres of music. And in these songs, he's rapping, but like, or he's rhyming at least, I think is a better way to put it. But there is a, you know, country, you know, vocalized melody to it, but he's rapping in a country vibe. And I'm just, it's good. It's good, man. Kind of reminded me of early Lil Nas X and stuff like that. So he got a little crazy with his stuff. And one of the comments was like, this is Lil Nas X if he stayed, you know, on that country path and stuff like that. And I know you said it was a huge accomplishment or like a huge compliment, but nah, yeah. This guy he's good, man. And he doesn't have very many, he has a lot of views in the millions and stuff, like 3.9. And I think the TikTok one had 17, the bar song, but it's good stuff. And again, kind of just resonates with you and stuff. The Let It Go, the Let It Burn song, good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Dope. Awesome. I didn't have too much stuff from the week. I didn't really play too much. I did play a little bit of, I've been getting back into Mass Effect. I had already mentioned that I've been playing more Destiny, still playing Destiny. Big deal. The last DLC, it feels like what the last DLC is going to be is coming up. So been back into that. Been, like I said, picking up Mass Effect 3 again. Been playing with my boy David. And I invite anybody else to get back on. It's for sale on Steam. Cheap. Super fun. A lot of different builds. A lot of different guns, characters, everything. So still just as good as what I remember. In terms of watching stuff, though, I've watched two things. One, I did watch this morning the newest episode of Demon Slayer, which was awesome. I finally got to get a little taste of my boy, and it was just that, a little tiny, tiny taste of my favorite Hashira. Gyome is his name. So I already know what's going to happen because I did read the manga. But still, it was good to see it like animated and see the presence that he commanded when he's just showing us just a glimpse of his power. It was amazing. I love those kind of characters that are like mysterious, and when they like say they're so like mysterious that when they do something, everybody's like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
you know. So that was cool. The other thing I finished watching, I'll bring up in a little bit because it's kind of plays into one of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit. Later. But the first thing I wanted to open with was video game stuff. EA is supposedly interested in putting ads in their AAA games. When I saw this, I was like, boo, 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 no, don't do it, please don't. I don't know anyone else that would think that would want this. If it's people from like a business perspective or something like that, I could see them saying like, oh yeah, this could work. Like they could make it work in certain ways. You know, and now that I think about it, maybe like if you're walking down the street, like they could put ads like on the billboards or like on videos and like video boards or stuff like that. But like if they're straight up going to put ads, when I think of putting ads in a game, I think like intrusive ads, like loading screen ads. Which maybe aren't that bad because loading screens are loading screens. How many people really pay attention to what's on the loading screen? Uh-huh. But I don't know. I'm just against this because of like the door that it opens, I think.
I did see something along the lines of there would be ads when there's a pause, when you pause the game. When you pause the game, there would be ads that popped up only when the game is paused. I think that's okay. I don't know where I saw that, but I remember reading and I said, I mean, it's not, if I don't understand at what point, like why it's a must, because like even in gorgeous games, right? Like where the pause menu is very brief and you can still kind of at least, you know, enjoy the scenery in the game, the setting in the game and stuff, for a random ad to pop out, like, yeah, hey, drink Coca-Cola. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm playing, you know, Nier Automata, and all of a sudden a Coca-Cola ad pops up, right? You're playing Star Blade and a Sprite little ad comes off when you press pause, right? And like that's what I mean. That'd be the weird part.
Yeah, and you see, even if they implemented it like that, I could see it not being a big deal because most of the time when you pause your game, you're getting up and you're walking away or you're doing something else. Like you're not gonna be sitting there watching that ad, yeah, right? You're busy. That's why you pause your game, right? So I could see that being a way for them to do it, but then what happens when the ad is still going and you want to unpause your game? Like, is there going to be like, wait like 3 more seconds and then you can play? Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
those are like YouTube ads. Or would they go some like video ads and stuff like that? That'd be intense.
You see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I do not want to say, even though I feel like that would be a good implementation, I'm worried about if you open this door, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know, so even though I think there's ways that it could work, I don't want it. I don't want to open that door, to be honest, because I don't want anything intrusive. Like, we're already at a point where, like, if you're not buying YouTube Premium or, you know, using some blocker or something, like, you're having to watch an ad, so, like, right, you know, before every YouTube video you watch, sometimes between YouTube videos, if you like longer form content. On Twitch, too, there's always pre-roll ads, sometimes as many as like 3. Sometimes mid-stream, you can watch as much as 6 ads, 8 ads, you know, when content creators, I mean, to be fair, they're trying to make their money, right? And if they're entertaining, you know, it's okay. I don't have YouTube Premium, but I do pay for Twitch Turbo, which blocks all the ads. So I don't have to watch ads on Twitch. I think it's $11 a month, but I watch enough Twitch that, like, to me, that's worth it.
Yeah.
YouTube Premium would probably be worth it too. But I mean, I don't mind. I watch YouTube, but not like as much as I watch Twitch, I don't think. Well, maybe about the same actually. But anyways, it's more about the ads and where it could go from there. Because like, you know, the ad business is, it makes a lot of money. It makes a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So I think, not just that, but then also once you start to, you know, dive further into like, what kind of data are they going to start collecting from us in video games? And what kind of ads are they going to try and feed us? What kind of algorithm are they going to try and put? Like, I don't know. I just don't want to go down that with something else. You know, it feels like we already have like our data kind of like checked out. We're like, oh, you know what? Yesterday I looked up bikes and now all over my Instagram feed or my Twitter feed, like they're trying to sell me bikes. Like,
yeah.
That's our data getting taken, and they're trying to get us through ads. You know, they sell our information one way or another, and they sell us off to try and, you know, get us to purchase something.
Yeah.
So just another way for them to kind of do that. I'm just like, no, please don't do this.
Yeah, so, no, I agree.
So I would just rather them not go, you know, if they do, pues ni modo, and pues I guess we're going to have to see what they do, and they're going to have to take the feedback from the fan base and, you know, their fans or whoever plays their games and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Next thing I have is more Resident Evil 9 rumors. I think before I mentioned that I think I had seen that Chris would be the main character. Well, the new rumors, which if these are to be true, there was a lot more detail on them. And if it's true, I stand corrected, and it actually seems like Leon is going to be the main character with the opportunity to also play people like Jill, Chris, Claire, Rebecca, Ada, Sherry, Jake, and Carlos. Rumor is that it's going to be a Southeast setting, open world, which I think would be a first for Resident Evil, right? Open world. So that would be pretty
kind of like a base of operations, then you can kind of like switch between characters to get certain job done and stuff like that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because they've, you know, they've done the different character stuff before. You know, never at this level. But, you know, with them kind of saying this, going back to this thing of it's going to be the biggest Resident Evil of all time, the longest developed Resident Evil of all time, like big money is being poured into this. Like, it makes sense that they would do something like massive like this. And yeah. It has a huge fan base. So I think it would be huge. The other rumor coming for Resident Evil is that there is going to be the RE1 remake that we've talked about for a while coming out for the 30th anniversary.
Hey man, RE1 has slept on. I really enjoyed that one as far as the puzzle were concerned.
It still holds up.
The OG, and they remastered it years ago, and that one holds up very, very nice. I know some people don't like the camera, the clunky camera, but I've always enjoyed the camera in the Resident Evil games, especially from the third person view. So I'm excited either way. I'm more excited about the
I'm one of those people that I would love to see what playing Resident Evil in a modern first person setting or even third person setting would be. And I think they've done it already in enough video games where I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility for them to do, like, you can enable the old school mode, or you can be like in new mode. You know what I mean? Like, kind of the way, I guess it's not the same like as perspective view, but like in the Master Chief Collection, as far as I know, they're the first ones I remember that did it. But you could do, when they did the Master Chief Collection, they did like obviously the remade levels and graphics and all that. Or if you pressed at the press of a button, it would change you and revert you to like the old graphics. You could see, damn, this is what the game looks like now, and this is what it looked like back then in the original. So I think that would be kind of cool for them to implement. I think that way, you know, for those that want the original experience, you know, but souped up, obviously, you know, better looking and all that, I think that would be good. But I don't know. I'm just a sucker for them like modernizing.
Yeah.
Because like these last installments, you know, the remakes have just been, even the, you know, part 7 and part 8 have just been so good, like excellent. And then, you know, with 2, 3, and 4 being remade, they're just top tier games.
Yeah. So, they didn't mention anything about Billy from Zero?
I've seen him in some other posts, but I didn't see his name in this one, which makes me think maybe that's coming down the line. The only reason I think they would leave him out of this one is because he's coming.
He's next. Because Billy was there, and now it kind of throws me off, because if you played Resident Evil Zero, it was Rebecca and Billy. And Billy was there through the, you know, the original virus, you know, how it came alive with Marcus and with was it Oswald Spencer and Marcus, right? And like he was part of that whole thing, right? With the where it came from and how it generated. And you expect to be able to believe that he survived RE0 and we never hear from again, even from RE8, when obviously, you know, Chris, it's already been years since Zero's happened. So I wonder if Billy's still out there personally.
I feel like he has to be. And this would be like a perfect, if this is true, this would be like a perfect time to bring him back, because, you know, Leon, Jill, Chris, Claire, you know, I was going to say, like, Leon, Jill, Chris, Claire, like, those are kind of staples, right? You know, Sherry, Rebecca, Jake, Carlos, like, I feel like Billy has to be in there too, right? You know,
I would think he's
not like those main four, but he's up there, like with Carlos. I would, you know, he was bigger to me than Carlos, right? Like you actually played as.
You're playing as Billy. Yeah. I think you did play as Carlos though, but again, I don't remember if it was kind of a switch thing or not, whatever.
I think it was very little, right? You play like a little bit as him, but not. Yeah. I don't know. He just not focal. He still feels like more of a side character, you know.
Yeah, and that's what kind of threw me off, because Billy was a big part of Resident Evil Zero, especially because like you progress as Billy and Rebecca at the same time to get through the puzzles. Like, there's no leaving one behind or switching. No, like they need each other to kind of get through the puzzles of the game. you know, even like the suitcases and the like the one suitcase and the backtracking, how horrendous it was. Like you still need him. So
yeah, yeah, I would think he would be there. Who's the other one they didn't mention? Sheva. They didn't mention Sheva, which she was also a main character, but she still, you know, it still felt like
she was huge in part five, like because that's where Wesker died in part five. Spoiler alert, but. Sheva was big in that one too. Like she brought down Abra Wesker. Like,
yeah, again, which I was gonna say it felt more like a Chris thing because of the whole Chris versus Wesker.
Yeah, yeah,
it was like Chris she was like the number two to Chris, but still, like you're right, she did. She's ultimately the one that brought down Wesker with Chris. So
yeah,
it's crazy that she's not there. And Carlos, Billy's another one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we'll hopefully that remake would be great too.
Yeah, hopefully, I'm sure it'll be good.
Before I get into like the movies and show stuff that I have going on here, there's a rumor going around, and I've heard a lot of Twitters. I've read a lot of Twitters, you know, talking about this and that. Hopefully, it's not true, and some people like kind of pretend like acting like it's true already, like it's a done deal. It came the first big like confirmation ish thing that I saw was coming off of the Bill Simmons podcast that there's been a lot of talks about the NBA rights getting bought out, and one of the big stories that I think we've touched on already is NBC trying to get the rights for the NBA games. And again, I'll reiterate it again. I don't think many people have a problem with that. The NBA games, I mean. But one of the things that people enjoy a lot about basketball on TNT is Inside the NBA.
The great show.
Yeah, and you know that that team that they got going there, they have such great synergy. They balance each other out, you know. They're crazy sometimes. Other times they get deep with stuff and talk about, you know, issues going on in the world. And, you know, they just complement each other so well. You know, sure, there's people. Sure, you might not like one of them or two of them. But, you know, they're just entertainers. They're characters, you know, and they just give such good insight. And they're it's a great show. Like you said, best show in sports. So. That's kind of where everybody's kind of sad about, like, well, if this happens, you know, good for the NBA, but what about our show?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. Not a done deal, but some people are acting like it. The rumor being that it's going to be announced after the finals.
Well, so we'll see and hope for the best.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That's, that feels like sad news.
Yeah, and it does, obviously, because, again, we know Chuck, Ernie, Shaq, and Kenny.
Yeah. So, well, that's one where we're just going to have to wait and see till the off-season. Yeah. Go Mavs. So, getting into the movies and TV things, there's a live-action Lord of the Rings movie being written. Peter Jackson set to produce. I believe you had a little bit more insight as to what it was going to be about.
Gollum? The hunt for Gollum?
Mm-hmm.
I know they're hunting Gollum because, again, in the lore, Sauron kind of lets Gollum go or whatever. And, you know, his wretched little self. But Gollum takes a ring with him and everybody's searching for Gollum. And the search does include, if I remember correctly, I don't remember if... Aragorn is going to be a part of that story, and people are saying, well, you know Viggo is a little older and stuff like that, so maybe he can, I'm not sure how to reprise that role, but just being able to go back into the world again is always huge. It's always fun, and I mean, if you're a fan of Gollum and his story, then I'm sure you'll be a fan of this Lord of the Rings, right? But again, they do a good job of always bringing in, you know, new stuff and more lore and stuff like that, just to kind of appease the Lord of the Rings fans, because they can be a little crazy.
Yeah. And with Peter Jackson on the case, you know, producing, I mean, you have to think like, okay, this is going to be top tier.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be for those people that want action, but in terms of storytelling and being with the lore, point and all that, you know, it's not going to disappoint if you're that kind of fan, you know?
Yeah.
Which we're going to go in the opposite direction with the other Lord of the Rings news. And some people might be pissed at me for mentioning this in the same vein, but we got a Rings of Power Season 2 trailer yesterday, which, you know, visually, again, looks phenomenal. Some of the action that I see there looks phenomenal. For those lore heads, you know, based on what you got in Season 1, it's kind of hit or miss, probably. But, you know, if you're one of those people that, you know, you just want to see more, you know, it looks like something that's going to be exciting. If you would rather just, you know, stay with the stuff that's tried and true and based on the books and the lore and all that, you know, maybe not for you. But I don't, did you see the trailer? I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I thought it looked actually a lot better. I liked it a lot better than I thought I was going to, considering that the first season I was kind of, you know, visually it looked great and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But story wise, it was probably like a 5 out of 10, just because it was me being generous. But Sauron actually did not look bad in my opinion. And again, it is, what is it? For Vickers, I think the actor is Vickers. Was it Hal Brand was his name in season one. So he does not look bad at all. And I know some people's, well, he never really kind of gets a face. We don't even know if he's human or elf. Or in this case, he kind of puts on a blonde wig and kind of looks like an elf and stuff like that. But again, it can go either way. And it's their story they're telling from I think the second age, was it? Of the story. We didn't get to see much of, you know, Gandalf or whatever. But we did get to see more Galadriel. Looked honestly pretty cool with Galadriel and what's his name? The other
Elrond.
Elrond, yeah, Galadriel, Elrond, and they kind of look like a little Avenger set up there when they're I guess kind of look like a crypt of some sort. So I thought it looked visually, I thought it looked good. So we'll see more. Yeah. I don't know if I'll watch it now. Whether I'm gonna hate watch it or not, it's a different story.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like the Halo formula, where like season one was exciting, but the story was kind of meh. But season two, man. That Halo series season two really picked it up and, you know, completely changed everything for me. You know, it's weird because that season one of Halo was just so much nostalgia that like I forgave everything else.
It was enough.
I didn't like, yeah. In season two, I was like, okay, this is it. This, keep more of this, please. So yeah, hopefully they kind of heard everybody's gripes and are gonna make it better.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see. It looked good, and again, I'll be watching.
Okay, yeah, so will I. So and it's not too far out, right? I don't think it's that far away.
It's gonna be August, if I remember correctly, because June we have another big one.
Oh yeah, dragons. Woo! Yeah. The other news I have is Hiro Sanada signed down for Shogun Season 2.
Yeah, remember you talked about that.
Rumor, and I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's two camps with this, and we talked about it, yeah, before. Where I'm like, damn, like, you know, this is so popular and so good, and everybody's clamoring for more. But then they also ended with like the end of what's
that
written.
Particular story. And we said, right, I think we mentioned, if they did do a season two, I think, yeah, you can bring on the same character, fine, whatever. Obviously, you can tell you can tell another story, and I think that'd be the best way to go about it.
Yeah, it's just tough because with some of the ways, with some of the lessons that you learn and some of the stories, and there's one episode in particular that it's titled a certain thing, and what you learn about that thing comes back and plays into the last episode, and one of my favorite scenes in that episode, and with the way it ends, like, that is the perfect ending for like that show. So for them to come back, I'm like, do I want more? Yes. But was that like a fucking like chef's kiss ending for like the lessons that we learned in this show? Like, yes.
So
I'm torn between like, do I want to see more? Yes. But oh, like, it's just worrying because how do you top that?
Yeah.
Could be done, or they could be on that level, but oh, it's just worrying. Like when you start to go into, you know, uncharted territory, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, Hiro Sanada is a perfect place to start, though, because like his character is exceptional. As an actor, he's exceptional. So I mean, he plays our main guy. How much of it have you seen? Have you seen any at all yet?
No, but I kind of know the story more or less. A little bit, not a lot.
Okay. So yeah, if you know who he is and who he plays, like, you know what a good job he does. So I guess they are going to move forward and they are going to kind of give us a little more Shogun, which, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down, either way, you know, excellent show. So hopefully that keeps rolling, right?
Yeah, and, sure.
And it's just good entertainment, I hope. Super Mario Bros. 2 will help set up a Nintendo Cinematic Universe, says Chris Pratt.
I wonder what that means.
Oh, we know what that means.
Super Smash Brothers?
yes. I hope. We've talked about this a bunch of times, right?
There's already a lot of guys in there, man. We have a live-action Pikachu already with, again, the CGI Pokemon. We have they're doing the live-action Zelda, right? You can already have in there. You can squeeze them through. You have Mario. You'd have Donkey Kong. You have Diddy Kong. Like, I already see. We're waiting for a Metroid movie next. Let's do it, man. What are y'all waiting for?
Yeah.
Heroines, man. Heroines. Powerful women on movies.
It would be phenomenal. It really would be phenomenal. Until Ganondorf comes and he's just... Ganondorf comes and he's, like, just an S-plus tier character and just destroys everybody. And Meta Knight.
Dude, they would knock it out of the park. An F-Zero movie would be amazing too, man.
Yeah.
Very, very, what is it? Death Race. Remember that movie?
Dude, Fox, man? A Fox movie?
Oh, that'd Star be Fox? Shoot.
Yeah. So many of those characters, man, would be so cool, to be honest. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is big. This is big. Just, everyone's always talked about it. We've talked about it. We've gotten excited about it and kind of like stopped ourselves because it's kind of one of those things where we overexcite ourselves a little bit. And then we're like, okay, rein it in, buddy.
Yeah.
Right. But now just to have one of the big, Mario himself saying like, hey, you guys are going to be excited for what's coming, what we're setting up here. Like, dude, hell yeah. No, I'm all in. Sure. I'm all in.
I've been all in, man. Just, I guess Nintendo franchises products, man. I'm in there. I'm just waiting for the Bowser solo movie.
Oh, a musical.
A musical Giga Bowser. Hey, shoot.
Yeah, I know. But speaking of like crossover and all that kind of stuff, X-Men 97, bro. That's the thing I was gonna bring up earlier that I finished watching. The season finale did come out, I think yesterday or day before, and I finished it also this morning, and dude, amazing. It is now Disney Plus's most watched original of the year, and I think it is the highest rated Marvel series on Rotten Tomatoes with a 98%.
Dang.
It is awesome.
Knocked out of the park.
It is top tier, and especially in the realm of like crossovers and little hints and teasers, and you know, you get to see so many things, whether it's like you see references to other characters, you see other superheroes in the show that aren't part of the X-Men necessarily. Morph, you know Morph, right, from the X-Men?
Morph
straight up transforms into other heroes. Like, he transforms into an Avenger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. It's dope. It's dope. Like, at one point, one of the big bad guys is actually like on a conference call with some of the other like villains in the universe, and one of the other villains is like, yeah, I don't got a problem with what you're doing, like, go ahead, but don't mistake my acceptance for like weakness or something like that. And it's a big bad guy. It's not just any bad guy. It's one of the big ones. So it's just and you know, some of the messages that they have in there about like just like some of the things that are going on in the world right now, like it touches on some of the stuff in the world and empathy and stuff like that. And it really is just good. And now that it's finished, is a perfect time for like people that, you know, I don't know what kind of people out there are like binge prefers, but for any of them out there that like to binge stuff completely, like, it's, you know, that door's open now. So just FYI for those of you out there. And it really is top tier. Just from the opening song, you know, if you were a fan of it, like just that opening song is just going to hit you so hard and going to get you so hyped. And everything else from there just goes up. So it's amazing. It really is amazing. Magneto is still the boss, and so is Wolverine.
Oh, I mean,
even Cyclops, dude. Even Cyclops, the goody two shoes character that, like, you want to like, but then you're like, oh, he's so vanilla. He was a badass, dude. He was a big badass.
Yeah, I've heard great things about the show, and again, I'll get through it eventually.
Yeah. So anytime you, that's another one of those things. Like, if you know, you want to just get a little bit hit of nostalgia or some, you know, excitement and hype and stuff like that, this is perfect. You know, for the people of our generation that watched all these things coming up. And hopefully Marvel kind of is like, you know what? We're having a lot of success with this. You know, how about Spider-Man, the animated series? How about some of the other animated series? I know there's been talks on and off about Batman, a Batman revival. Yeah. So, I mean, hell yeah, dude. I hope that this is just the beginning. We already know there's more X-Men on the way. I think season 2 and 3. But it was a great start, and it really is top tier. It's top tier television, not just for, you know, an animated series, but television.
Yeah.
So it's great. The last thing I have on my list is Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider TV series got greenlit for Amazon. It talks about this for a while, whether or not they're going to do it. And it's official. It's happening. They've always been like some guilty pleasure movies of mine. Those old school movies with Angelina Jolie, just because I love the whole, like, I've always loved the Tomb Raider thing with the puzzle and the action and, you know, the little mix of the suit. Come on. Who didn't love the suit? But then when they did the Alicia Vikander's one, I actually really liked it. And I liked how they followed, like, the re-release of, like, Tomb Raider 1, the video game and the story. And they made the supernatural aspect of that work in a way. Did you watch that movie?
I have not.
Okay, well, that was a good one. That was a really good one. Really. So, yeah, I'm excited. I know Tomb Raider has a big fan base. I know Omar's a fan of the games, so I'm not sure, you know, how big a fan he is in terms of, like, wanting to watch something like this, but I know Lara Croft has a lot of people that are big fans, so one of the OG waifus, you know.
Yeah.
Polygono or not.
PlayStation.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's it. A lot of TV and movies and stuff like that, but hey, that's some of, like, the most interesting stuff I've seen this week. Anything else you wanted to add in there? Stuff I missed?
Not much. That's because I usually have anime to talk about, but again, I haven't even kept up with much at all in regards to anime, actually. Mm-hmm. So, no, man, that's about it.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. I said it would be sub 1 hour, and we actually did it.
We actually did it because, again, not that it was, you know, we didn't want to give a lot of just news that didn't really mean much, but they were big. Like, some were big. We're at 40 minutes-ish, so I guess it'll be one of our shortest ones, period.
Yeah, it was, there was some other stuff. There was, like, some little announcements about, you know, there's going to be, what, 8 episodes or only 8 episodes of House of the Dragon. I think they had an episode count, too, for the new Daredevil show. I think they did drop a trailer for a Dune prequel that's going to be coming to Max.
Yeah. They also dropped a new trailer for House of the Dragon.
Yes, which also looked amazing. What else? They put out the Iron Claw on Max, which I'm very interested in, especially us being from Texas and me being a big wrestling fan growing up. You know, it's crazy. I was actually talking to my mom about what that movie was about. And she was asking, like, what is this movie? I'm like, it's about these wrestlers, this wrestling family out of Texas called the Von Erichs, and, like, how, kind of where they come up. And she said, oh my God, my brothers used to watch the Von Erichs. And I'm like, okay, they're way before my time, but believe it or not, a good chunk of some of the greatest wrestlers, at least three of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and you'll find these amongst many people around Mount Rushmore of wrestling, are from Texas. The biggest, most popular star in wrestling ever, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Victoria, Texas. The greatest performer in wrestling history, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, Ricky especially, Shawn Michaels, San Antonio, Texas. The best gimmick and the craziest gimmick probably ever in wrestling, The Undertaker, Houston, Texas. And whenever you hear those people, those guys talk, you always hear them talk about the Von Erichs. Von Erichs, whether they watched them, they were an inspiration to them, they went through their territory at one time, back when, you know, wrestling was a territory thing and it was all about, you know, these here, these, like, you know, it was this group here, this group there, a group over here, before, like, they were all bought out, eventually became the WWF, and then the WWF, which is, like, the big monster we see now. But you don't talk about, you don't hear a Texas wrestler not mention, at least from that era, you know, that we watched, not mention the Von Erichs. So, I don't know, it's something I wanted to watch. So now that it's on Max, for sure I'm going to be watching it in the next couple of days.
Mm.
So that's a big one, especially if you're a wrestling fan. So yeah. It's supposed to be a very, very good, has a pretty good cast. So I'm excited. Anything else you can think of?
No, that's it for me, man.
I know if you're into politics at all. Today Biden and Trump agreed on a debate. So that's going to be exciting. Yeah, there's going to be two. They agreed on one, and now there's going to be two. So that's going to be much must-see television. You know, whether you like one or the other, or both, like, it's just going to be crazy, for better or for worse. So I really can't think of anything else. But yeah, I think that's it. I think that's a wrap.
All right, sounds good. Our last episode, if you haven't checked out our last episode, we did go over a lot of basketball. I think we've been talking a lot of basketball, especially with Anthony Edwards and Nikola Jokic right now, just, you know, highlighting just sports, especially for their playoff run. One of the other things we talked about also was the latest rumors for the Switch 2. If you haven't, you know, heard or whatever, there is going to be a showcase in June, not featuring any Switch 2 information, and the Switch rumored to be coming out in March of 2025. So you can listen to our last episode. You can catch up yourself on some of those rumors, some of the stuff in the NBA, and some upcoming games that we talked about. But other than that, I think that's a wrap. Thank you guys for listening to us. You have a good night. We are the Meta Era Nerds.